Bibles to Mark chapter 2, if you will. Mark 2, verse 22. I'm going to read one verse and then we're probably going to bounce over. I've got 1 Corinthians 2 in here and Galatians 3. I probably won't go to those tonight. We're probably going to go over to Esther and we're going to talk about Vashti's banquet a little bit. Saturday night, I really had just a phenomenal encounter with the Lord in my upstairs room. We've got a big room that adjoins our bedroom, and I've got a desk and a computer in there and all of that, and it's a big area, and I go in there and we study up there and worship up there and all that. I had a really amazing encounter with the Lord from about 12 p.m. until 1 a.m. Saturday night, Sunday morning. And it was just, God just really, really rocked my world. And I shared a good bit of that Sunday morning. And I had a bunch of other teaching I was going to do Sunday morning. And I really got focused on the encounter I had with God. So I want to mix the two tonight. We're going to develop some stuff. Last Wednesday night was so good. We all walked out of here last Wednesday night. We're like, man, that was awesome. And one reason it was so good was because Anita wasn't here. And I'm just kidding. Is because there was so much interaction. I mean, everybody was coming in. I mean, you know, TW was sharing and Cindy and just, you know, everybody in here. And Jeremy and people were really saying, man, this is what I see in this. So I want some of that again tonight, okay? Don't be bashful. Let's run out there and say, man, this is what I'm seeing. I want to talk about, and what really initiated this with me, is I have been spending probably the last month really meditating on a new wineskin. And that's the scripture I want to read this morning or this evening as we come in. And let's just read the scripture and we're going to jump into this. This is Jesus speaking. And I'll go ahead and read verse 21. No man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old wineskins, else the new wine doth burst the wineskins, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins will be marred. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. I've been contemplating and thinking on this verse, and even before we went to South Carolina last week for the 2 days of meetings and services and all of that, I was just really praying, God, I need a new wineskin, because I was just, Lori and I were really fatigued, and when you get fatigued, it makes it tough on you spiritually. It's just a natural grind when that happens, and we were really super, super fatigued, and I'm like, man, I just need a new wineskin, because I want some new wine. God, just pour it out, and we look in this, and I asked a question Sunday as we kind of launched out. How many of y'all in your life on a regular basis are like, God, I just need some new wine? You make that statement or think that. I just need some new wine. Just give me something fresh, God. Give me something fresh. I need something fresh. I feel stagnant and all of that. I just need an overhaul in here. And we come in and we ask God for that without ever changing the wineskin. And we're asking God to do something that is impossible for Him to do. You say nothing's impossible for God. Stupidity's impossible for God. And God said, no man puts new wine into an old wineskin. So if God says no man puts new wine into an old wineskin, then what does that mean? God's not going to put new wine into an old wineskin. Is that a safe assumption? Y'all like that where I said that nothing's impossible? Stupidity's impossible for God. It is impossible for God to be stupid. And in this declaration, in the word here, He said that you're stupid if you put new wine in an old wineskin, because what's going to happen is the old wineskin is going to be destroyed. It's going to be damaged. And the new wine is going to get spilled out onto the ground, so it is wasted. How many of you know God's not into wasting stuff? He's a good steward. So God's not going to waste new wine and pouring it into our old wineskin, knowing it's going to do damage to us, and also knowing that the new wine's going to be wasted. I'm going to be brutally honest with us tonight. I personally feel like this is why we're not in a higher level of revival than we are here at Victory right now. Because we're running around a bunch of old wineskins and saying, I want revival. God, I want you to do this. And God, I want you to pour this in. And we want to see manifestations and all of that stuff. And we're operating in old wineskin. And God said, you're asking me to do something that according to my word that Jesus spoke, I said no man would do. And you're asking me to violate a common sense law that I have. I don't know if it's right to say a common sense law about God. But I personally feel like that's why, Jeremy, I believe that we sit at the precipice, and I'm not saying a window's closed or anything like that. I'm simply saying we are in a holding pattern, I believe. I believe that there is a gate before us that is ready, that God wants to unlock that gate and wanting us to enter in into a place. But I believe that there is a gate that is standing, that we're standing in, that we are failing in. And until we are unlock that gate, we will not have permission and access to unlock the next gate. And I believe that's where we are as a church right now. I believe we're sitting in a place where God is man, He's been good. The last 18 months have been awesome, man. He's been pouring out His Spirit and all of that stuff. But I also know that it's just a first fruit of what He really wants to do. We're just sitting and scraping off the surface of this thing. It's good. It's wonderful. But I don't think any of us in here can say, man, this is the fullness of what God wants to do right now. If you really believe that in the heart, you're very short-sighted right now. Because as good as what we've had lately, God wants to do way, 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 way more. God wants to blow up way, way, way more. I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit frustrated right now. I'm not going to let my frustration cause me to take my foot off the gas. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let my frustration be a catalyst for me to put the gas further. I'm not going to slow down on this and hope people catch up. I'm going to put the pedal to the metal. Jump on if you can. If you don't want to, that's fine. You'll be frustrated in 6 months. You'll be like the guy that walked out of the worship event last night and say, dang, they didn't sing my favorite song. So disappointed. And you could have had an amazing encounter with God. I'm just saying, guys. Y'all okay with me being just kind of honest the way everything is, I feel like? I think that's my job as pastor. I'm cheating y'all if I don't. And I'm going to let my frustration be fuel to cause me to try to burn hotter and press in more and put the pedal to the metal. Because God right now, and I don't want to use the word as teasing me, but it's almost like He's teasing me. He's enticing me is what He's doing. It's kind of like Lori when she's cooking something amazing and the whole kitchen smells good and she's got garlic going on and got some wine cooking in it and all of that stuff and just the whole house smells amazing and I come by and she gives me just one little smidgen of it and she's like, hey, try this. And I'm like, oh yeah, let me have, She's enticing me and making my anticipation and expectation. Y'all know what I'm talking about, guys? She give me, it's almost like an appetizer, but it's more than an appetizer. And that's what God's doing right now. Cause He's messing me up with some stuff. He is showing me some stuff and I'm hearing stuff that other people are seeing and experiencing and having just some crazy, crazy, crazy kingdom stuff happening in their life right now. People that I know and I'm connected to. And I'm like, God, this is awesome. Give me some of that. Give me some of that. And so that's why I'm still excited, Jeremy. I'm frustrated, but I'm still excited because God's given me all these teasers, these enticements. They're really invitations. He's not teasing me. He's giving me invitation. And He says, come on up here, and this is a taste of what I can give you some more of. Because He whacked me out for an hour Sunday night or Saturday night / Sunday morning, and it wasn't because I made a good decision Saturday afternoon, and I believe it unlocked a gate that allowed me to enter into where I entered into Saturday night Sunday morning. I really believe that, and we're going to talk about this some, but God has got this invitation for us. For come up here, let me blow your mind, let me show you my love, let me show you my goodness, let me show you my power, let me do something in you, let me do something in your kids, let me do something in your grandkids. Man, I see it, and it's so exciting. So we look at that, and we're asking, I'm being honest, we're asking God for new wine, and we can't get rid of, let me read what I wrote down Saturday night. The folly of the modern Pentecostal church is that we expect God to pour out a fresh new measure of Holy Spirit in us while we operate in old paradigms of faith, ministry, and church. We are old wineskins asking for new wine. We have abandoned childlike faith and genuine hunger for Him. No matter what that looks like. Lisa Bevere said something last night that kind of messed, it stuck with me and messed with me. Lori said it did the same with her, and Cindy said it did the same thing with her. She was talking about when she had just gotten saved in the early 80s. She got saved in 1981. And she was talking about how she had just gotten saved. And during the 80s was a lot of crazy manifestations and the Toronto outpouring and, you know, just all of this stuff was going on and everything. And, just a lot of weird stuff going on. And she said something. She said, we were so hungry for God's presence. We would go and we would have a 4-hour church service just to get 5 minutes of His presence. We would have, she didn't say endure, she said we would have a 4-hour church service just to get 5 minutes of His presence. And she said we would take that 5 minutes of His presence and it was like a burning coal and we would put it in our heart and it would be a hunger and a catalyst to come back and do it again the next day. Or the next Sunday. Or the next Wednesday night. And that stirred something in me. That stirred something in me. What was it I asked you last Wednesday night, Jeremy? One of the questions. What happened to that guy? What happened to this guy and some things? Talking about the childlike faith. Talking about the hunger. Talking about that. You know, I asked Jeremy, I said, I feel like Jeremy's pressing in and hungry for God right now. So this is not a slight on him by any means. But there also was seasons in Jeremy's life where it was nothing to drive to Brownsville and stand in line 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours just so you could get back in a church service and not be in an overflow room. I remember a guy used to walk around in his papa's basement in his underwear acting like a wild man. Where'd he go? I remember a guy used to get in his car as soon as church was done here and hit the Zaxby's drive-through window and drive 3.5 hours to Hamilton, Alabama so I could go to a Sunday night church service at the Ramp and go in a 3-hour Sunday night church service at the Ramp on the Mississippi border and 3-4 hour service, get in the car, catch the McDonald's drive through in Hamilton because it was the only restaurant in town that was still open, drive 3.5 hours home and then get in at 1 or 2 in the morning and at 6 a.m. I'm back up getting my clothes on going to work and loved every minute of it. Where'd that guy go? Don't let him disappear, Micah. Don't let him disappear. Don't let him disappear. All right, so with that being said, I want to ask y'all a question. When you think about a new wineskin, what do you think about a new wineskin? When you say, man, I want to be a new wineskin, I want to create a new wineskin. What comes to y'all's mind? What do y'all typically think of? I'll throw mine out there so you don't feel awkward on this. Typically, what my mindset has always been in the past for a new wineskin is I've got to change my way of thinking. I've got to change my priorities. I've got to have this shift in my mind and shift in my priority system. And that is going to create a new wineskin. And then God can pour new wine in. Is that close to anybody else? Miss Jackie, that's pretty close. That's always been my mindset. Any others? Anybody else got any slants on it? Doing something different? Whether it's right or wrong, let's just do something different. I'm kind of like that when I get stuck in traffic. I may lose 10 minutes, but if I'm moving, going through 38 side streets in Atlanta, I feel better about myself because at least I'm moving. You know? Anybody relate to that? We do the same thing. But doing something different. All right, what else? Robert, what'd you say?
Renewed mind.
And that's something. Here's the thing that's messed up about that. How do we renew our mind with our old mind? But you think about that though. We're taking our mind and trying to renew our mind and that's an impossibility. There's got to be something different that takes place to renew the mind. Because when I renew my mind, or try to renew my mind, I'm coming in with an old wineskin and trying to make a new wineskin out of an old wineskin.
What the new wineskin is supposed to look like.
Oh, okay, yeah, you struck something right there. Did everybody hear see? She said, we have in our mind, I'll go ahead and paraphrase this a little bit. She said, we have in our mind what we think this new wineskin is supposed to look like. So we will try to make this new wineskin into what we think it is supposed to look like instead of what God wants it to be and look like. That was the power of Vashti's banquet. That's the draw of Vashti's banquet. And I'll probably get there in a few minutes if we don't get too tied up in all of this. Y'all remember we talked a little bit last Wednesday night about King Ahasuerus and his banquet, and Vashti was having a banquet simultaneously. And King Ahasuerus came in. They'd had 180 days of banqueting. At the end of the 180 days of banqueting, they said, let's have another banquet. All right, let's go then. All righty then, man. We just had 6 months of it. Let's roll right on into it. The second go-around, they invited everybody. All the people. It was so good with the elite. Let's invite everybody. And at the same time that Ahasuerus was having a banquet, his queen Vashti was having a banquet in his property. It says in his house. But she was having a simultaneous banquet. She was drinking the same wine that the king was drinking, right? The edict on the king, when he came in with his banquet, you know what he said? And the word bears it out. If we have time, we'll read it. He said, the big thing on, he said, there is no measure to the wine that anyone can drink. Every man can drink freely. Every man can drink just as much as he wants to on this. So there was no measure, no limitations, whatever you felt like consuming, there you go, big dog, you go for it. All right? Vashti's banquet over here, y'all remember the story, Ahasuerus, in the middle of this second banquet, it said after he had drank and his heart was merry and all of that, he got his chamberlains and he said, go get Vashti and ask her to come over. And really wasn't ask her, tell her to come over and wear her crown, take her veil off. And I want everybody to see how beautiful she is. I want her to come over there. Let's get way past this thing of, well, he was drunk and he was asking a ridiculous request and all of that stuff. He's king. He can ask whatever he wants to. And so he sent the request for her to come and she said, I'm not leaving my banquet to come to your banquet. And so I get, everybody knows what happened on that. The king got furious and he said, all right, guys, what do I need to do with her? And so all of his advisors, they're like, dude, you can't let this slide. Because before long, every woman in the kingdom is not going to be honoring her husband and all of that stuff. And so basically what they did was they put her aside. They deposed her. She still lived in one of the king's houses, in one of the king's places of provision and all of that stuff. But she lost her position with him, and she never had encounter with the king again. And so she was replaced with another. All because she refused to leave her banquet.
Vashti refused to go to the king's banquet because she was drunk on her own power. That's when we say no to God, we're drunk on our own power. That's what humanism teaches us. That's what the flesh teaches us. Everything teaches us. It's my body, my life, my time. She forgot the king had the power to kill her, the power to uplift her. But she forgot because she was drunk on herself. She put herself above. And she was drunk on it. She wasn't thinking right. And it cost her. It cost her everything.
I'll tell you another angle on that also that I want to bring out that I felt like the Lord speaking in this is not only was she, like Lori said, drunk on her power, she had learned how to banquet very well. I know how to do this. Why would I leave this when it's so good? It's controlled. I bet, and I've preached this before, and I've heard this preached my whole life. I bet she's sitting here and her attitude is, I am not parading myself in front of a bunch of drunken men over there so they can gawk at me and see how beautiful I am. I ain't going to do it. She said, I'm going to stay at my banquet where ain't nobody getting out of control. Nobody's intoxicated. We're all sitting around and we're having our two glasses of wine. And we're prim and we're doing our thing because we know how to do it right because we keep a handle on it. And that's what we do in our lives is we have become so proficient in banqueting. We have become so proficient in our lives. Look at our lives. Look at our lives. They're nice, neat little packages of Americana. We come in, we've got a solid job, we've got a career, we've got a track that we want to follow. I'm going to come in and I'm going to be a solid dad and a solid husband, and I'm going to work 40, 50 hours a week. I'm going to carry my kid to all their functions, and I'm not going to miss any of that. I'll go to PTA meetings. I'll go to church on Sunday morning when it's convenient. I'll tithe because I believe the Bible and all of that stuff. But that is the life that I've built, and I'm not getting outside of it. That's my banquet. And we refuse to get out of that. And we've got this model for our kids, and we've got this model for our life. And it's safe. It's secure. We try to limit the risk. And the only problem with that is that it's not the king's banquet, it's our banquet. 90% of the churches in America, I'll probably say 95 to 98% of the churches in America, are very, 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 very content, ours included, very content having our banquet. We might not mind the king visiting our banquet, but do we really want to go to his banquet? Because they're drunk at his banquet. T.W., they are out of control. Dude, they got togas. I mean, they're going crazy over there. Huh? You watch people when the Holy Spirit gets stirring and God gets moving and all of that stuff. And that control and the religious spirit or the fear and all that stuff. Man, they start getting nervous and cringing up and all of that stuff. I even had it run through my head last night for the people in front of me. I mean, I was sitting there, and y'all know I'm kind of crazy when I worship anyway, but I'm sitting there, and I'm worshiping in tongues, and I'm like, oh, these folks ain't Baptist in front of me. And then finally, I was like, oh, forget it. I don't care if they are. But that control thing ran through my mind there for a second. I might need to gear this down just a little bit. And I'm like, why? That might be the very thing they need in their life. And we come in, and when God starts... Apostle Aaron blew my mind Friday night. He gets up there and starts talking about, and he's asked, he said, Damon, did I talk about this in here? And I'm like, you the apostle, go. He starts talking about having encounters beyond the veil with people in another dimension, stuff that he has been experiencing recently. You know, and I'm kind of like, I don't shrink back from it, and I'm not scared of it. It kind of blows my mind. But it makes me want to say, oh, give me some of that. I mean, I'm talking about some crazy stuff. Yes, sir?
I think sometimes, that happens in here. I know for sure, this has been a long time ago with me. God told me to do something. He told me to pray for somebody. And I was like, God, you know, am I supposed to? Am I not? Andy Hagen was standing on stage. I said, God, just get Andy to do it. And I swear to you, 30 seconds later, Andy walked on stage and prayed to that person. I mean, that's God invite me to be a part of what he's got going on. And I said, nah. You know?
Let me ask you a question, Ted. Before you got saved, when you were a heathen, doing your thing,
How many times did the devil ever come up to you and say, man, I want you to go minister to that person and pray with that person and love on that person?
Did that ever happen?
Never happened.
You know, did God ever tell you did Satan ever tell you to go give that cat $100 bill? Lord, no. So why are we reasoning away when God asks us to do something? And so, is that really God? I don't know, man. You know, it's... And we do. And I do. Man, I do that.
We
don't know our worth, and we don't know... We don't rightly see Him. I was listening to some teaching recently, and y'all remember the story of the wedding feast that the man had for his son or whatever, and he said, go out and invite people to come to this wedding feast that I'm having. And everybody was busy. One of them had to go check some land, and you know, one of them had just got married, and one of them was doing this. All of them had excuses and all of that. And man, I have preached against those excuses and say, boy, you know, look at this and that land, and this is this and this is, and that's not the issue at all. The real issue was they didn't realize who it had invited them. They didn't realize the worth of who had invited them. These invitations that God has given us right now, when we rightly see who had invited us, T.W., there's no way we would say no. If we rightly see who is inviting us, who's inviting us to a place of intimacy, who's inviting us to this, or to go minister to somebody. And that's one thing I really feel like God's about to break loose in our church on, and maybe it's a next step for us, is I believe that we're going to see more and more different people ministering and giving words and different stuff like that. I mean, it's... I brought it up the other day, you know, when the FCA kids were down here. God gave Errol a word for one of the FCA kids, and she didn't know her. But she went up and she gave her that word and said, the little girl, just tears started streaming down her face and all of that stuff. And I believe that same. And here's all of this stuff, whether it's an encounter like I had Saturday night or last night or whatever, is recognizing who is giving us, extending this invitation. Think about somebody that you really idolize or look up to, and maybe idolize is not a good word, but somebody you really look up to and you're like, dude, you know, if John Smoltz was to call you up, you're a baseball fan, or used to be a baseball fan when the Braves were worth a flip. If John Smoltz called you up and said, James, man, why don't you and Kami come eat supper with me? I'd love for y'all to, you know, I think he still lives over, or he did live over on the north side of Atlanta. Why don't you y'all come over, man, and eat supper Friday night and everything? You wouldn't ask him and say, well, what are you serving, John? You wouldn't care. I wouldn't care if I went over there and I got the crust off a PBJ sandwich. If I was just sitting and hanging out with this cat. We've got to realize that, man, this is an invitation to co-labor and co-create with God. That's what this is every time we come in. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I'll get like that sometimes. I'll be like, man, I don't preach. You know, I'm tired, and I got to go, and, you know, half the people aren't paying attention anyway, and they want me to hurry up and be done in 20 minutes. And, you know, forget this, man. I don't want to do that. But my approach to it is wrong. It is my job or my responsibility or my burden, instead of God giving me an invitation and saying, hey, dude, do you want to release life? Do you want to release the kingdom? Do you want to impact people's lives? And when we look at it like that, then it's not a thing where it's like this big burden that we're carrying around. You and Nick right now, Jamie, and I know y'all physically, I know it's very challenging. I have no idea about being a football coach. That's, you know, what little coaching I did with the job with pales in comparison to what you guys are juggling and doing right now. But y'all have such an amazing opportunity set right in front of y'all right now,
with these kids up there that, man, they look up to Nick, and that makes them look up to you because you're Nick's wife. I saw it a little bit at some kids I was talking, ministering to after the crusade. Robert, the kids that we were, I was with you, and we were ministering to that group of boys right there. And I came up, and Robert had been counseling with them and all that stuff. And I came up, first thing I did, man, is I started saying, I threw out a couple things about Coach White and all of that stuff. And boy, when they connected that I knew Coach White, all of a sudden, you know what? This guy's E.F. Hutton. Let's listen to him. I'm like, y'all, when Coach White was y'all's age, man, he used to live with me. And they were like, I'm serious, they kind of like gasped and says, oh, you're the one. And I'm like, I guess I am. You see what I'm saying right now? God is extending such an invitation of opportunity and privilege and favor. And if we recognize it like that, then we're not going to, we're going to run to it, and we're going to be hungry for it, and we're going to say, God, and that's what creates the new wineskins, okay? It's not us saying, I got to get my act together and let me transform my mind, let me renew my mind just by studying the Word. Because I'll be honest with you guys, if that's all there is to it, I get bogged down in that. Y'all may be super Christian and y'all can just, you know, wade through the book of Ezekiel and just like walk out glowing. But if it's just me trying to renew my mind because I've got to study the Word, I get bogged up in that real easy. That in itself doesn't work for me. It's when I get drawn into that invitation, that's when the Word becomes alive and all.
You can't just, if you just read this, it's a book. But when you read this and it becomes your life, and you take action on that, it then becomes a living Word. And that's where we don't have the confidence a lot of times. When I was in the world, I was of this world, and I would party at 2 o'clock in the morning, fire my motorcycle up to the straight to work. Why don't I do that for Christ? Why not here at 2 o'clock in the morning at Club La Vila passing out tracts to guys coming out of the bar, the girls coming out of the bar, witnessing to them, and then getting on a motorcycle and going back to the hotel room? That's when the rubber meets the road. That's when your confidence level rises up to the point to where you realize who you are through Christ, not anything other than through Christ. That's when you become the witness for Christ that you should be.
And that's not birthed out of this is my Christian duty.
No.
Because that's what somebody was referring to a while ago. Because we can come in and we can say, man, this is my duty and I've got to do this today and I've got to preach today or I've got to do whatever today. You know, Cheyenne went with us. I bet she told us 25 times, thank you for taking me. Thank you for... And we kept saying, baby, we enjoyed it. We're glad you went. It was a blessing to us for you to come and spend 3 hours worshiping right beside us and to share a meal together and 3 hours back and forth driving and all of that stuff. But see, that's what we think. You know, she kept, you know, she even said, you know, her and the things like, thank you for putting up with us tonight. And that's the way we are with God. We're like, God, I know you're just putting up with me, but I'm trying to be a good soldier, and I'm just trying to do my duty and all that. And God said, man, I'm celebrating this. I'm celebrating co-creating. I'm celebrating these. That's why I'm extending this invitation. God doesn't need the worship just from the worship standpoint. He's got angels doing that. But He loves the presence of His children. He loves the presence of His bride. He loves that touch.
Religion that tells you you've got to do something in order to get something. And that's not the way it works with God.
Right.
That's the church, the kind of church I was raised in. You had to be doing something to get something in return. God's love is unconditional.
Absolutely.
You don't have to do anything.
You can never do enough.
You can never do enough. And you can never earn His love because, I mean, we just can't. But He gives it to us anyway. And that's what makes Him God.
And also, He loves to hear that. Come here, that. I gotta show you something. That. Let me ask you a question. We in the human, really? Chill. He's not like that.
Right. We're riding to church.
We're creative to do that. That.
We're riding to church tonight, and Eden was in the back, and you know, she kept saying, Dada, and I only kept saying, when I was driving, I was like, Poppy in this car. Yeah, your daddy's somewhere else. Poppy, you need to say Poppy. I wanted to hear, I didn't want to hear daddy, I want to hear Poppy. Right? Yep. All right, let me read something right here, man. I got to hit this, or we're going to run out of time and I ain't going to get where I really want to go. All right, we've got 15 minutes. Okay. All right, this is what the Lord laid on me Saturday night that was so, so, so heavy. I believe there are places in our heart that are reserved only for Him. There are places in you, Brett, that are reserved, that are built only for Him. It is impossible for you to give those places to anything else. Because I have always taught and I've always said that I'm just giving this stuff to this and giving it to that and giving it. There are places in me that I cannot, that not only is it illegal for me to give to anything else, it is an impossibility for me to give it to anything else. As much as I love Lori and as great as our relationship is, there are places in me that I cannot give to her because they're reserved only for God. And I believe that the Lord spoke to me Saturday night and He said these new wineskins are not a transformation or a renewal of your mind or a mindset or anything like that. But these new wineskins, what they are, is they are new places in our heart, new levels that we reach in our heart that He has access to. And when He gets that part of our heart, then all of a sudden what does He do? He pours new wine in that place because it is something that has given Him new access. That's the biggest challenge for me right now and where I really want to get and what I'm striving and pressing and trying to make myself vulnerable and available and all of that is, God, these virgin places in my heart, these virgin places in my life, and there are a lot of them in here, guys, because I'm hitting stuff at 54, I wasn't hitting at 34, all right? There's stuff in here right now that I'm hitting that I couldn't hit when I first got saved. There's stuff hitting right in here right now that I wasn't hitting when I was driving to the ramp. Or when Ambry was talking about going down there, and I said, man, we had baptism service down there one time. We baptized 800 people one day in the river. I mean, we was toting them out. They was getting whacked out in the Holy Ghost. They getting ducked, and then we was carrying them out, Robert. You know, I said, thank God for buoyancy, because some of them were some big people. And so we float them over, lay them on the bank. But there are places that I'm hitting right now that God has got access to right now that He didn't have access to back then. And I used some different illustrations with that. One illustration was I used with Kathy and Doyle. When Doyle got sick, all of a sudden there was a place of Kathy's heart that he got that he didn't get before. All of a sudden there was a level of mercy that was released into his life. That was not released, but you know what that was? It was a new wineskin. I experienced it when I got married. I experienced it. I loved her not like I ever loved any girlfriend I had before her. Amen? If I did, there's something jacked up. But there was a new place in my heart that she got after she said I do. After I dated her for 3.5 years. But when she said I do and we walked down that aisle and then we walked out as a married couple and we embarked on life together, you know what? She got a different place in my heart that had never been given to anybody before. And you know what that was? It was a new wineskin. When I had children, you know what happened? A place in my heart opened up that had never been able to open up before. When I had grandchildren, another place in my heart opened up that had never been opened up before. You know what it was? A new wineskin. It wasn't a transformation of my mind. It wasn't, well, I got grandkids now. I'm going to have to show them some love. And everybody said you can give them candy and all of that stuff. There was a place in my heart that opened up. And it was a new wineskin. I saw it with you two guys when y'all got grandkids. It is self-denial, but it's more than that, because self-denial is an act of will. And those little old grandboys and Lauren's kids, they're adopted, but even Lauren's kids, and I shouldn't say even, y'all know what I'm saying on that. It comes in and I see them getting a place of your heart that wasn't available for anybody to get 3 years ago, 5 years. Maddox is, how old is Maddox now? 5, 6, 4? That was not available for somebody else. You became a new wineskin. You became a new wineskin when Lindsay got pregnant. There was something in your heart opened up. You recognized it, didn't you, Deborah? You recognize it within yourself. That's the new wineskin that opens up a place for God's newness, a new spirit, new anointing, new freshness, new revelation, everything to come in. And it's not something we work up in our mind, but it's when we come into a place and all of a sudden it's a new level of our heart. But you know how we get there? There are gates of contention that we have to win in before we can enter into those other gates. This is small, but it's still an illustration. I had to win Saturday night in one gate to open up the gate for my encounter with God between 12 and 1. And you know what that gate I had to win in about 8:30 at night was? I had to say no to a college football game. I had to say no to the end of the Cubs game and celebration and all of that stuff. That was a place that was contending for my affection. I could give my affection to that. But when I won in that area, you know what it did? It opened up a place for a new wineskin. What happened at 12, between 12 and 1 was not something that I could give to the Cubs or to LSU or to Auburn or whoever. It's impossible for me to give that to them because they are an inferior dimension and this is a superior dimension. It's a superior place in my heart. All right? There are places in my heart for her that are impossible for me to give to another woman. I'll even go a step further here, and this is going to mess with you a little bit. You've been divorced, and you've been divorced. Because I've seen this firsthand. When y'all got married and God put y'all together, Gordon got a place in your heart that no man before him had ever got. Because I knew you before Gordon. Gordon got a place in your heart that no man had ever got. You know what your heart was to him? A new wineskin. So you know what that did? Because I see trust and confidence and peace with him that I didn't see with first husband. Right? And so because you gave him a new place in your heart, he had a new place in your heart, he got a new wineskin, so what was the result of that? New oil got poured in Anita. Oil got poured in you that had never been poured in you before. That's new wine, guys. So it's not a thing, I lose it once and I blew it, so that disqualifies me. No. Just win in the gate in front of you so that when that it gives you opportunity to go into this next thing.
A new wineskin has the ability to stretch because it's drawn up tight. You pour in new wine, it loosens up and so it can grow. Mm-hmm. Not stretch in a negative way, but it can grow
right.
Positively. You pour new wine in an old one, it's maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going, you know, it's going to sit there, might be for a second, but bam, it could be days or whatever, but it's going to explode and bust.
That's old paradigm.
Exactly. You poured in the new wineskin, it's allowed, how much have you grown since that new wineskin was there and the wine get poured into it? Then when you step into the next new wineskin, you stretch again.
Yes.
You can stretch out there and grow.
Yes.
Again.
Yes. When we win in the gates that are up for contention,
God wasn't contending for that gate of whether or not I'm going to watch LSU play football against Ole Miss Saturday night. God ain't in contention for you watching Georgia play football. But it might be a gate that bars you from going to a gate that He is contending for. You see what I'm saying in that? We come in and we say, this is the point of you know, the tipping point in my life, or this is the thing that God's really contending for right now. No, he's thinking about something way bigger than that. But he does know that this is a gate you've got to win in. And if you lose in this gate, it is going to keep you locked access from coming into this next gate. And this next gate's where the new wine is, because the next gate's the new wineskin. That's that place in your heart, that virgin place here. How many of y'all, almost some of you guys that have been down the road, you know, in your faith and all that, it's easy to get. I love to get somebody that is brand new in faith and throw them into something that is just crunk up. I love to. I love to carry somebody that has never been in this kind of atmosphere or something like that, and just throw them in, and they're like, it just blows their mind, like, wow, this is amazing. And a lot of you guys, myself included sometimes, we run around, we like, yeah, I've been there, done that, and I got a t-shirt and tattoo and all that. So I'm good, man. It's cool getting slain in the spirit. It's cool speaking in tongues and all that stuff and everything. But, you know, I had a minister back when we were having revivals years and years and years ago. I had a minister, and he was sitting about right over where you are. And we had finished up, he had came for the preaching. And we were about to bust loose in about an hour and a half, 2 hours of altar time. And words of knowledge and all of this, you know, the stuff that, man, let's get there. And he said, hey, Pastor Sid, he said, I'm gonna go now and slip on out. He said, we done been there and done that with all this stuff. And I'm like, ooh, I didn't realize you done arrived so much there, Slick. But that's our attitude. Is we come in and we say, I've already seen this, and I've already experienced this, and yeah, it was good, but you know, I'm okay because I've seen the Grand Canyon. Why do I need to go back? I've seen Vegas. That's my mindset with Vegas. I ain't got nothing for Vegas. I've been there. I've seen it. I'm okay. Big whoop. You know, don't care to go back. That'd have to be a really, really cool Safari Club International Convention or something out there for me to go back. But anyway, but we come in with that and we're like, what about in the Word where it says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things Father God has in store for us, Jeremy Crane. So every bit of this stuff that I've experienced, and we've experienced good stuff, but every bit of it that I've experienced is stuff that eye has seen and ear has heard. So that tells me that there is a place, there's a gate, there's a dimension, there is stuff that God has just got sitting, holding on reserve for me until I get to a place with a new wineskin where He says, now I can pour it in you. And if you thought that was good, whoa. Kind of like Jesus when He turned the water into wine. You thought that was good? I saved the best for last. Right? What's going to be better, former rain, latter rain? He's wanting to blow our mind with the invitation because there are levels of your heart, a.k.a. new wineskins in you, that you hadn't even realized were there yet, Jamie. You'll experience a lot of it in the natural when your kids start getting married. You'll start loving your son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and all of that stuff. And then they'll start having grandbabies. And it's like, whoa, I didn't even know that was in there. It's in there. And when you start growing old with T.W., you'll start loving him different. I know he's still a hot hunk of a man, and you're going to chase him around and all that stuff, but you'll start loving him different because there'll be a different wineskin because it's going to be a different place. And you're going to look over at him one day, and you're going to say, man, we've been married 35 years, baby. You have been with me through good, bad, and otherwise. And that's going to stir something. That's going to unlock a gate. And he's not going to be just a good guy that has provided for me and been a good dad. He's going to be a guy that you've got history with, you've got long history with. And it's going to unlock something in you. And you know what that is? It's a new wineskin. It's not something you do up here, honey. It's something that happens right in there. And I think that's the thing we're missing. That's the revelation the Lord gave me Saturday night. He said, you're missing it. You think the new wineskin's here. He said, it's not about a new paradigm. It's about a new place in your heart. Not a new heart, a new place in your heart. Because there are depths and levels that have not even been scratched yet. Our expression of worship, we're scratching the surface. We've got great worship in this church, but we're scratching the surface of where God wants to take us. He wants to get us to the place where we can't, when we get into worship, it's not, hey, what note can you hit? Or even what sound can you make? It's like, I'm so messed up in the presence of God, all I can do is just lay before Him in fear and trembling. And that's a good thing. You look at everybody that had encounter with God in the Word. What is it? It didn't say they picked their worship up an octave, did it? There are people that came back and worshiped Jesus, and we want to do that, but you let them have an encounter with God incarnate. What happened? Isaiah, woe is me. John, I bet Paul got so messed up over an angel. John got messed up over an angel. Tried to worship him. He's like, dude, get up. Don't let anybody get up. God wants to take us to these places, guys. Here's my prayer. We're closing. Here's what I want to release over you guys. '801, we're awesome. Listen to this. And then I'm going to release a prayer over y'all. Access to these places remain locked as long as the gateways are given to other things. Access to these places remain locked as long as the gateways are given to other things. God's not after the gateway. God's after the place that you can't give to anybody but Him. That's His ultimate goal. That's His ultimate goal, is to reach the place, touch the place in Brett House that Brett House can't give to anybody else. That's why we get frustrated as Christians. That's why I get frustrated. Because there's stuff in me that I know that is within me, and I just can't even wrap my head around it and all of that stuff. And it's like, I know there's more. I know I'm built for more. I know I'm called for more. I know there's more expression. I know there's more encounter. I read about it, but then the Word says, eye is not seen and ear is not heard. That tells me there's a superior dimension to what's wrote in there. That's not blasphemous, guys. The Holy Spirit wants to take us to places that is not even in here, because it says, eye is not seen and everything is in was seen and heard. And God's wanting to take you to superior levels than even the written Word. And that's the living expressed Word. You know, Apostle Paul said, there are things that it's unlawful for me to write about. I can't even write about these things. They are so shut up. I saw things I can't even write about. God wants to take us there and there and there. Access to these places remain locked as long as the gateways are given to other things. God's ultimate goal, prize, is not these gateways, which can be given to other things, but the things that they lead to that are reserved only for Him. That's what He desires. That's what He desires. He doesn't want what you can give to her. It's nice, but it's not the end goal. He doesn't want what I can give to my kids. It's nice, but it's not the end goal. The end goal is He wants to so connect with me in a place that it was put in there just for that. That was the Adam and God walking in the cool of the day. Nothing could interfere with that. That was the place God wanted to stay at. Adam let other things get in the way. Hello, Eve. That's where He wants to be. Here's my prayer of you guys. Y'all stand up.